rolling.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1290, April 18th, 2024. 89 degrees on this day in 1985. I told you there were a string of records that year. 21 degrees on this day in 1953. And on this day,
Joe, today is April 18th.
In 2013, 6.5 inches of snow.
Huh.
So we don't have that to look forward to. Swimming season will be starting any day now, any week now, not any month, any week now. Get a hold of Aquaside. They've been maintaining Great Lake Shores for more than 60 years, getting rid of weeds and algae with a complete line of lake and pond control products that'll take care of everything from weeds to algae. The products are easy to use. They work quickly. They're registered with the authorities. They're safe. Don't let weeds overtake your pond or lakefront this summer. Call Aquaside. They'll identify the problem and get you the right products. Speaking of which, Mark writes, I better get this, it's an important email. Mr. Mayor, as the keeper of common sense, I need a ruling. I bought an excess amount of Aquaside duckweed products last summer. Is there a shelf life? And can I use it? Thanks for the help. Loyal listener, Francis of Roseville. Francis, what I would do is call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 and ask them that question. Or go to aquaside.com. And it's courtesy of Aquaside.
Yes, sir.
That we have our ice outs.
Is it another big one like yesterday?
Pretty good. Minnetonka went out on this day in 1855. 1897, 1898, 1917, 1928, 1933, and 1997. White Bear Lake went out on this day in 1933, like Minnetonka, 1997, like Minnetonka, and last year, White Bear had ice out on this day in 2023.
Hail the Flashlight King!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Students have walked out of a school in, what, Nebo?
Payson, Utah.
Payson, Utah.
Right? Is it Payson?
They're protesting furries. Oh.
That's just south of Provo on I-15.
I just drove right through there.
According to WebMD, a furry is someone who has an interest in animals with human qualities, and they dress up like animals. And the school apparently is has some furries. Students who walked out expressed their grievances, even calling for the expulsion and banning of furries. Boy, things have changed, haven't they? And
we've come a long way.
This is the story we've been waiting for, though.
Several children can be seen holding signs reading, "Compelled speech is not free speech." Another was holding a sign that said, "I will not comply." And another sign said, "We just want to learn." The student, this is a ray of hope for these kids who are protesting. The student said there are
ray of hope.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The student said there are attacks from the furries every day. So the animals are attacking, the kids dressed up as animals are attacking the other kids. But they're unsure of how many furries actually are at the school. It could be from 5 to 100. That's not a very accurate
Well, they're feral,
guess.
So I guess they're kind of all over the places.
The school's furry population is accused of biting, scratching, spraying air freshener on, barking, and chasing other students.
Okay, I have to admit, I might have tried this when I was in high school.
Yeah, but now you weren't dressed up like a cat.
Yeah, but I would have, now that I know about all this, the barking and the going pee and all of that,
Think of what you could have got away with back then, Ken.
Gotta take your hat off there, Ken.
Yep. I'm going to, as soon as the story is done,
I'm going to leave.
Well,
I can't do a story with people wearing hats indoors.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll get right to it. Let's finish the story first, though.
A lot of information has been put out there that's incorrect and inaccurate. Nebo School District Public Information Officer Seth Sorensen told ABC4. While students said there have been harassments of students, he said most of the claims are false. The students are not dressing up as dogs and cats. Why are they making this up then?
Coyotes and raccoons. Wild animals, right?
Students are wearing headbands that look like animals, apparently. I don't want to do this.
So I know you do because of this
you
audio
absolutely
clip alone.
Do.
I have a 45-second clip from ABC4.
Let's hear it.
In what I would assume is a Salt Lake City television station. And I need to prepare you for the audio.
Uh-oh.
Because the audio, you know, you get your standard, just imagine your standard side by side, right? The reporter's there with the microphone and on a glorious day in Utah. And then they pan to go to the interviewee, which is the young person dressed up in character garb, right? So they got that. I believe this would be a Labrador mix furry. And
the audio's like this because I got the mask on.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like trying to talk to Mickey Mouse.
Exactly, with the take it away, ABC4.
Thank you.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one.
Stop it. Is Strudel a furry?
That's where I was going. Strudel is a furry who opposes doing this in the school.
Wants to, Strudel will do the furry stuff outside of school.
Keep it outside
the
school.
Good for Strudel.
So this is why Strudel's voice, I think, really needed to be heard.
Strudel is a wonderful kid.
Yeah.
Maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
Okay, so the district says they've worked with some students whose dress and appearance they say might be disruptive to the school environment.
See, I don't see how this country can survive.
I want to take it. I would take it further, and I would like to wear like a Richard Nixon mask.
Sure.
Or a Billy Carter mask. Or, you know, why not go as your favorite?
And I don't want either Garage Logic or Hubbard Broadcasting to be the point of any type of litigation. Strudel does identify as they, them, so I do not want to misgender Strudel.
Was there any talk about litter boxes? Because we had that story well over a couple of years ago now that I really wanted it to be true, but it proved not to be.
Yeah, didn't Jensen run on that campaign, basically?
Are some of the kids on leashes at this school?
Probably.
I would think that that's probably part of the bit, you know, if you're...
You know what? Seriously, the country is over when you have kids in Utah, in the middle of nowhere.
Here's
you're going
what
to school
do.
Dressed up like animals.
You dress up as a skunk, and then you smell like weed. Skunky weed.
Oh, you are a genius.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. You puff up out in the parking lot, come in and stinking of weed. I'm a skunk.
I'm ready for biology.
I'm a skunk. You know...
we're not a serious country, are we, Joe?
No.
No, this is ridiculous.
No. A guy asked me the other day, he said, are you going to write about that St. Paul City Council member who has... 120 parking tickets or whatever and didn't live where she said she lived and got elected to the least diverse city. I said, no, I don't care. I you know what? I'm done. I'm done. I can't figure this out. I'm done.
But
I don't know what happened.
From what you just said, that's the line that Royce always gives, God provides. That just fell right into your lap. You have to write about that.
But wait a minute. Speaking of him, didn't Royce stumble upon a furry convention?
Yes, he
covering
did.
A ball game or something?
He did. He did. He was
what's very, going on here?
Very disturbed by it.
Everyone's in costume.
He'd call them all bosoms. What are these bosoms doing?
Down in Lexington, North Carolina, we have a 16-year-old student at Central Davidson High School who was suspended for 3 days for using the term illegal alien during a vocabulary assignment. Mm-hmm. Leah McGee's son has a teacher who assigned vocabulary words during last Tuesday, including the word alien. McGee said her son made an effort to understand the assignment and responded to his teacher asking, like, space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. According to an email describing the incident sent to local officials and shared with Carolina Journal, a young man in class took offense to his question and reportedly threatened to fight him, prompting the teacher to call in the assistant principal. Ultimately, his words were deemed by administrative staff to be offensive and disrespectful to classmates who are Hispanic. So who's in trouble, the teacher or the kid? No, the kid got suspended.
The kid, yeah.
Not the kid that threatened to beat him up?
No.
The threat of violence?
You know what he got suspended for? Asking the question. He never did write a sentence that used illegal alien.
So there are stupid questions.
He said, I wasn't speaking of Hispanics because everyone from other countries needs green cards, and the term illegal alien is an actual term I can hear in the news. In addition to the 3-day suspension, his record could be damaged as he aims to secure an athletic scholarship. He's actively involved in school clubs, track, and cross country.
Well, we got to get rid of that kind of a menace. What a joke.
It's going to find. Well, it's on dictionary.com.
I saw a video last night of Al Green playing with Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Oh yeah.
God, was that good.
Dictionary.com refers to illegal alien as a noun often disparaging and offensive, a foreigner who has entered or resides in a country unlawfully or without the country's authorization.
I have a question for you from the town council.
Did you ever get hold of Becca?
I got her number from our guy downstairs.
Did you call it yet?
When I received it while we were doing the show.
I see.
Brian, town council member, has a question for you regarding the furries.
Sure.
I wonder if all the furries get along or do they fight like cats and dogs?
See, I wouldn't have told me that I had that message.
You know. If you were a furry, what would you identify as?
An elephant.
A honey badger? Oh, an elephant.
I love elephants.
A pelican.
No, I'm going elephant.
Or that would be your radio name.
That's
right.
I don't see the part that would be the trunk working out.
The whole
so
point,
much,
Kenny,
for you.
Is as a furry, you'd have to create a costume. See?
But I love the fact that that television station found an outspoken furry against the furries being in the public school.
Which I think is fantastic.
That is really good investment.
So you would have to have an artificial trunk then.
Yes, I would.
Joe, did you see the elephant that escaped in Butte, Montana?
I did.
Yeah, that was an interesting picture of him wandering down the street,
followed by the besieged handler.
Yes.
The despondent handler who kept saying, "Come on, Mick, come on.
Here, boy.
Come on."
Did we have to put the
guy
down?
Did he do any damage? Was he on a rampage?
No, he was just walking. Just fine. Elephants are cool, man. They're not going to wreck stuff. Elephants are very very cool.
Well, I just realized you were the one that was riding the elephant when a teacher who had remarked to you years earlier said, "You'll never amount to anything."
That is correct. That's a true story.
Next time she saw you, you were
on an elephant.
I was on an elephant.
With hair down about here and very gaunt looking. And she thought, well, he's a drug addict and he's riding an elephant.
Yep.
Told just about what I expected.
That's what I figured. Do you know that our president's now claiming he had an uncle that was eaten by cannibals?
Oh, boy.
Well, his uncle vanished in New Guinea when his plane crashed in World War II. I don't even know if that part's true. Biden was talking to steel workers in Pittsburgh that after D-Day, his mom's four brothers volunteered to join the military. One of those uncles, he said, was Ambrose Finnegan, who went by the nickname Bozy. Oh, I'd love to hear him tell this story. And you
and
said
my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brozy, they called him Bozy. My uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Apparently, he told this story a second time at the little town hall, in which the audio was much clearer. The first time he told the story, he was standing outside of Air Force One, and the jet engines were very loud behind him.
Well, you know, it could be true.
Who's to say?
Uncle Bozy, you know, he met his fate with
the cannibals.
The cannibals. And that's a first for a president to be telling that type of tale, isn't it? That's I've never heard that before. He said they never recovered his body, but the government back when I went down there. I don't know what that means. And they checked and found some parts of the plane. Did Joel go there?
Must have. Wanted to maybe, you know.
Well, do you have the rest of the story?
That's the only clip that I could find.
The Defense Department has a different record of what happened to Uncle Bozy. It said on May 14th, 1944, an airplane carrying a crew of three and one passenger, identified as Finnegan, left Momote Airfield on Los Negros Island for a courier flight to New Guinea. For unknown reasons, the plane was forced to ditch in the ocean. Off the north coast of New Guinea, both engines failed at low altitude, and the aircraft's nose hit the water hard. The report said three men failed to emerge from the sinking wreck and were lost, while one crew member survived and was rescued by a barge. Finnegan has not been associated with any of the remains recovered from the area after the war and is still not accounted for. All right.
What ocean is that in? It's not in the Indian Ocean, is it? Because
South Pacific, isn't it?
There is a cannibal island in the Indian Ocean.
Well, this is South
people
Pacific.
Are banned.
New Guinea
okay,
is
people are...
over there. You know.
Okay. Boom. You're banned. All people are banned from going to this island because you will be killed and et.
Even
it's
in
called
this
North
modern
Sentinel.
Day and age?
Yeah, it's Sentinel Island. Yep.
For those of you listening over there, Joe pointed behind his left shoulder.
Yeah.
So, well, let me gather my
Here
bearings.
We go.
It'd be about this way.
That way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's up by me. Now you're pointing to Douglas County.
No. Yes. Well, let's not go through that again. Well, you'd head towards Hawaii and keep going.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you stop and get gas in Hawaii,
you just keep going. Pick up the pace again and take off, you know. All right. EcoFun. What a great weekend for a test drive up at EcoFun. They got that great parking lot at the new store in Forest Lake, just west of 35 on Highway 97. Preseason sale prices are in effect. Yamaha electric bikes are at dealer invoice pricing, come with a 5-year warranty. Yamaha is throwing in a second battery for free. That's a hell of a bargain. But here's the best part about going to EcoFun. Get the correct fit for your e-bike, and that'll happen. Kayla's an expert. Take you out there, get the right seat, right handlebars, right tires, the right height for everything. It'll just be perfect. You'll have a great year of riding. The Forest Lake store is now the new home of Yamaha Wave Runners and Kawasaki jet skis. The showroom has an ample supply. Kawasaki Mule off-road utility vehicles are all on sale for an extra $500 to $1,000 off right now for our March Madness sale, which for GLers has been extended through April. Mention GL and they will honor that extra discounted price until the end of April. This is at EcoFun Motorsports, one of the greatest showrooms of recreational equipment you'll ever see. Lots of youth stuff, helmets, apparel, great service. It's EcoFun in Forest Lake on Highway 97, just west of 35, and down in Burnsville on the service road of life, near County Road 42, EcoFunMotorsports.com.
Win tickets to Blue Rock guitarist phenomenon Corey Stevens with special guest the Jorgensens at the Medina Entertainment Center this Friday night, right now in the PodMN app, through listening rewards. Tickets are on sale for this Friday show at the MedinaEntertainment.com website. Also available through listening rewards is a Garage Logic prize pack. If you use the PodMN app to listen to the Garage Logic show, make sure you are registering for rewards.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
It's a tax refund sale. It's going on right now at Maple Grove Lock and Safe on a wide variety of Liberty Safes you can get. It's kind of a progressive deal. The more you spend, the more you save. Get 10, 12, or 15% off a whole bunch of different units. You can save all the way up to $700 with this incredible in-store discount and matching mail-in rebate on these safes. You'll see all the details on the newly relaunched MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com website. Rich, he's the owner there. He's been at it for 40 years. You know what that does? That makes him the best in the metro, 40 years strong. You know a thing or two when you've been around 40 years. So if you need anything lock or key related, of course, anything security related, Rich is the guy. The tax refund, Liberty Safe rebate. It's going to run until April 29th for GLers. And remember, when you walk in there, you need to announce that you are, in fact, a GLer. You come from Gumption County because Rich always offers GLers a little something, something extra, including the one that I think we should all have. That's why I keep promoting it so much. 15% off all small, quick combo and key vaults. That means if you need one on the nightstand, the desk drawer, even in, under the seat in the car, that's going to be your ticket. Rich is at 6901 East Fish Lake Road in Maple Grove, and that fancy new website of his, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
J. Coles had a very informative piece last night about a Minneapolis South high school teacher who was fired. Her name is Becca Thompson. She's a math teacher. By the way, a sixth grader left a sheet of math problems that she had completed at our house.
Okay.
I quite seriously had no idea what those were or how to do them, or I'm very proud of the kid because I have no idea what that stuff was.
I have a sixth grader in my home, and we're teetering on the, I don't know how to help him anymore.
Well, it's pretty bad when you can't help him in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
Now, maybe her parents probably can. I can't. She doesn't need help,
but you're bad at math.
Yeah.
But they changed it. They changed the way they do math, right? The way they, the way you reach.
No, not at this school they didn't. This is real math. This isn't 2 + 2, whatever you feel like. This is real math.
I think you're missing my point.
I know exactly what you're saying, Kenny.
New ways to arrive at conclusions?
At the same conclusion.
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know.
It is.
I wouldn't have known either the new way or the old way.
Right. You were bad at the old way.
The old way I couldn't handle. I don't think this is math. I think we're already in geometry or what are those other forms of math called?
Algebra.
Algebra.
Yep.
Oh, you know, love algebra.
Loved it, huh, John?
I loved algebra. S-O-B. I hated geometry. I couldn't get the gist of it, but algebra I loved.
What the hell is algebra?
That's your angles and your...
Yeah.
No, that's geometry.
That's
angles.
Your triangle.
Algebra is like X.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You have to figure out what X is.
Oh, you got to figure out X. This fired teacher is named Becca Thompson. She was a math teacher. She said she was fired after she spoke out to school administrators and the entire school board about safety. She and other teachers are fearing for. Becca Thompson was fired Friday. She addressed the school board two nights ago. I am here to ask you to believe me when I tell you there's a cancerous rot running right down the middle of this organization, Thompson said. Boy, them's fighting words. In a January letter to the principal at South High School and school board members, Thompson told them she personally witnessed a student assault staff members. She reported it to the principal, but said the information was not sent to the school district. I don't know how you can do that when so much of the data out there with certain schools is being doctored, she said. I have watched as management refuses to report aspects of our schools which desperately need to be addressed. J. Cole's, I think, reached out to Minneapolis Public Schools, but he has not heard back. Because Thompson is not a tenured teacher, she said she is not sure if the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers can or will appeal her firing. The president of the teacher union is that commie, Greta Callahan. She told Five Eyewitness News that Thompson is not alone. Greta Callahan said, I can tell you she is not the only person making these accusations about the same administrators at the same school, Callahan said. Okay. But what a terrible situation. The social media, which I really don't enjoy, but it's thick every day with videos of kids either beating up kids or hitting teachers.
Yep.
All over the country.
Yep.
It's just horrible.
We had the story from a couple of weeks ago. Was it Lakeville North or Lakeville South High School, in which the only reason anyone was alerted to it was from a student's cell phone camera posted on social media. And all of the staff was told not to make this known to the public.
We reached out to Becca. Maybe we'll hear from her. We hope to. I don't know where she stands as a Mysterian. This would seem to me to indicate that perhaps if she was a Mysterian, A, she's had enough, or B, she's not a Mysterian. She's just a young woman trying to teach math.
There you go.
At yep. South yep. High School.
Yep.
And
that's what I would assume.
Witnessing kids assault teachers.
And it's unacceptable.
Yeah. And she speaks up and she gets let go.
Why would you fire her?
I don't know.
She is apparently, I don't know, we talked about this back in January. There was somebody who wrote an opinion piece in the Star Tribune about, remember the kid at South selling fentanyl and fentanyl? Becca wrote that. It was a guest editorial for the Star Tribune.
Interesting.
I was listening to audio, so forgive me if you've already mentioned this, but Jay, because I got her information from Jay, Jay also said, sorry, Mr. Carl Reeves. She also was the South High Girls Varsity Softball coach, and she's also an elected member of the Minneapolis Park Board. That's how I got to know her, Jay
said. I was just going to tell you that, Parks and Rec Board member.
Really?
And she was deemed not good enough for theirs.
I wonder if her editorial earlier in the year flagged her as being troublesome.
Well, it caused them to seethe.
Yeah. Yep.
And then with strike two coming along, apparently they thought that was enough to get rid of her.
Yep. I wouldn't doubt it.
See, I keep all the teachers I could who don't want people to be fighting.
Yeah.
Well, and then is what's going to happen with so many other areas of life going to happen now here with teachers? We're seeing it with police and other areas.
You know what? I just have to say, from living in that neighborhood, being a teacher at South, that's ballsy. No matter who you are, that's a ballsy move.
Should we defund the teachers? They want to defund the police.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, are you now going to get the teachers that are willing to toe the company line but aren't very good at their job? Right?
That could very well be. We don't know. Again, an invitation has been extended to her. We might hear from her tomorrow or never or whenever. But if she wishes to join us, she's more than welcome.
This is not the first time we've heard of a teacher who's just been completely ignored by the principal, the administration, and the school board for trying to do the right thing.
Kenny had mentioned new math.
Yeah.
You got your pencil?
Yeah.
Kenny, John?
I'm not even trying.
I'll try, sure.
Adam is at the slide, and Brett is at the jungle gym.
Adam is at a slide, and Brett is at a jungle gym.
They walk to each other, Joe. Mm-hmm. Adam walks 26 yards, and Brett walks 37 yards until they meet. Use an open number line to find the distance between the slide and the jungle gym. There's your new math.
Well, I could do that.
Come on. I'd
have to do some figuring.
You got to run the numbers.
Well, 3 times 26 for the one guy, and 3 times whatever the other mileage was.
Oh, you need the answer in feet?
Well, no, that's why I did. What's the 3 got to do
well,
with
then that? It's really
a yard is 3 feet.
Yeah. He's turning it into footage.
But use an open number line to find
I don't
find
know what open number line means.
Just 63.
Bang.
63.
There goes Kenny Olson right there.
Is that the right answer?
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you did some figuring, though.
So, quickly, Joe, 63 yards is how many feet?
189.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
189.
Yes, sir. Yes, you're correct.
That's your new math.
Now we're going to get a ton of angry emails saying how wrong and how stupid.
Who was the guy we had at the fair that said the whole world is based on the number 9? You remember that guy?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
He was a math whiz, and it was uncanny the way he could. Everything in life comes back to the number 9.
Is he now the mayor of South St. Paul?
No. No, that's Box the Clown.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, Box the Clown was the best.
All right.
I do remember that. That was years ago, though.
I don't remember that.
And it was wonderfully interesting that he could make everything in the world come back to number 9.
What was his? Mm-hmm. He was obviously on as a guest, but
he was on as the master of 9.
But that's his bit?
Number 9.
He was a math guy. I guess he was number walking 9. Around the fair. Number you know, 9. I don't know how we got him.
Well, he had an act at one of the stages where he did what he did for us with the number 9.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, kids, come on down.
He appeared at some.
Interesting.
Stage. Okay. And it was just wonderful. Number 9 can. Math is everything.
Sure. Oh, his name was Sheldon Cooper, right, Joe? Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was Sheldon Cooper.
Sheldon Cooper.
He's on the show The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, for God's sakes.
It's a neat show. You should check it out.
You guys ever watch anything decent?
Sometimes I watch the ball game.
Let's move on here. I have a great email. Right? Well, I have more than that. I have a lot of material on Chairman Maher, Catherine Maher, the new head of NPR.
Okay.
The New York Post wants to weigh in. That she just purchased a $2.7 million New York City townhouse, to which I say, big deal. In New York, that'd get you a closet and a kitchen, maybe.
Right.
So I don't understand why they think that's a big deal, unless she stole the money to buy it, and I don't see that there's any evidence of that. So I can't hold Catherine Maher guilty of anything for buying a Brooklyn townhouse for $2.7 million. She probably got a deal. That's a hell of a deal. We have a Republican Senator, Marsha Blackburn, who wishes to strip NPR of taxpayer money amid this controversy that was fomented by Yuri Berliner's essay on NPR losing the trust of a great number of Americans. Yuri then resigned. Representative Marsha Blackburn is planning to propose legislation that would pull funding for NPR as the agency grapples with backlash against its far-left bias. Meanwhile, NPR's new CEO, Catherine Maher, is under fire over old social media posts that demonstrate she has been a longtime far-left activist. Blackburn said Wednesday plans to cut off any government funding has to be looked at. Okay. She called out NPR by saying the mainstream media has become obsessed with doing the left's bidding and taking down conservatives, and NPR has led the pack, she said.
I don't disagree with that.
I think that's basically true. Blackburn sought to defund NPR in 2011. She was not successful. While the organization receives most of its operating cash through advertising, about 1% of NPR's budget does come from taxpayers through funds allocated for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which also funds PBS. Okay.
So, what are your thoughts on that, Joe?
I don't mind giving them 1%. I just want them to be more responsible.
Oh, wow. I did not expect that answer. Yeah. So they get 1% funding. They get, they like to call it underwriting, but let's call it what it is. It's advertisers.
Right.
Then they also put everything on hold and beg for money from listeners.
Yes, they've done marvelous things. They're greedy as hell. but they've done marvelous things, and I'd hate to see that go away. But they clearly have no balance whatsoever.
But can you imagine Hubbard Radio doing that?
No, you can't.
Begging, first of all, getting 1% from the government, and then putting all of our programming aside once every few months and begging our listeners to just send us money?
No, I can't.
That's ludicrous.
An open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR, and now, predictably, we do not have an audience that reflects America. That's what Yuri Berliner wrote. And then we learned Tuesday that Berliner, the 25-year employee, was suspended for 5 days, but he trumped that by saying, "You can't suspend me, I quit." So he resigned. We have been made privy to some of her wonderful remarks over the years. She is a well-resumed. My God, she's been with UNICEF, the Atlantic Council, the World Economic Forum, the State Department, Stanford University, the Council on Foreign Relations. She was chief executive officer and executive director of the Wikimedia Foundation, and as of last month, the CEO of National Public Radio. Mere weeks into the new role, she stepped into controversy with this Uri Berliner situation, his scathing indictment of the self-professed public media services' ideological capture. Rather than address the substance of these criticisms, which will ring true to anyone who has listened to NPR over the last decade, Maurer punished Berliner with a 5-day unpaid suspension. But Maurer has another problem. Her archive of 29,400 tweets. John Haidt, who is Christopher Ruffalo?
Christopher Ruffo?
Who is Christopher Ruffo?
He is a conservative, I should get his background first. He's a conservative fella. He's all over Twitter.
We to be satisfied that he's the one who has done some research into her archive of tweets?
He is a conservative American activist, New College of Florida board member, and senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute of Policy Research. Ruffo has been involved in Republican efforts to restrict critical race theory instruction or seminars, et cetera, et cetera. Visiting fellow of domestic studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's around. He does a lot of papers, that kind of thing.
It's a GLer, maybe. He writes, "I have spent the past few days exploring Maurer's prolific history on social media, which she seems to have used as a private diary, narrating her every thought, emotion, meeting, and political opinion in real time. This archive is a collection of her statements, but at a deeper level, it provides a window into the soul of a uniquely American archetype, the affluent white female liberal, many of whom now sit atop our elite institutions." Well, two of the three college presidents that got in trouble for the anti-Semitism were elite white women.
Yep.
And then the other one was a plagiarist, a black chick at Harvard.
Allegedly. Right.
Allegedly. What you first notice about Maurer's public speech are the buzzwords and phrases: structural privilege, epistemic emergency, transit justice, non-binary people, late-stage capitalism, cis white mobility privilege, the politics of representation, folks, F-O-L-X. She supported Black Lives Matter from its earliest days. She compares driving cars with smoking cigarettes.
What? Equally awesome.
She is very concerned about toxic masculinity on every topic. Oh. Maher adopts the fashionable language of left-wing academic theory, the failed academy, and uses it as social currency even when her efforts veer into self-parody. She never explains, never provides new interpretation. She just repeats the phrases in search of affirmation, and when the time is right, a promotion. Well, her gobbledygook during the TED Talk about truth was just...
That was enough for me, Joe.
Yeah, that was stream of consciousness gobbledygook.
Yeah, but
from the failed academy.
She proved to me that truth is not the number one issue with her. It doesn't matter. Truth doesn't matter.
Well, according to Ruffo, Maher understands the game. America's elite institutions reward loyalty to the narrative. They sure do. Those who repeat the words move up. Those who don't move out.
Yeah.
Next, you notice the partisanship. Maher was excited about Elizabeth Warren in 2012. She just couldn't wait to vote for Hillary in 2016. She once had a dream about sampling and comparing nuts and baklava on roadside stands with Kamala Harris. What the hell does that mean? She worked to get out the vote in Arizona for Joe Biden, but slightly resented being called a Biden supporter. For her, it was simply a matter of being a supporter of human rights, dignity, and justice. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is a deranged racist sociopath. If you read Maher's tweets closely, you also get glimpses of the human being. She spent much of her time in airports, taxis, meetings, and conferences. She expressed anger over the fact that most first-class flyers were white men. Then noticed she went straight to the back of the bus in her 30s. Unmarried, without children, she felt the need to explain that the planet is literally burning and that she could not in good conscience bring a child into a warming world. Oh, she is. She's totally bought the whole deal. She's gone. Behind the frenetic activity and the moral posturing, you wonder, Maher once posted her daily routine, which involved yoga, iced coffee, back-to-back meetings, and Zoom-based psychotherapy. She resented being served maternity advertisements on Instagram. She was not currently in the market for a baby and would not be tending her ovaries, according to the dictates of American capitalism.
What?
Americans, even CEOs, are entitled to their opinions and to their own life decisions, of course. But the personal and psychological elements that suffuse Maher's public persona seem to lead to political conclusions that are certainly worthy of public criticism.
Anything there about her upbringing, how she ended up like this, how she was raised?
No, you'd have to do a deeper dive than what's currently available on social media.
She was from Wilton, Connecticut, I would imagine,
from a great deal of wealth. Maybe I'm wrong, but this smells like a great deal of
white guilt,
white privilege, and a lot of lacrosse games when she was 10.
She has no, from what I can tell, survival instincts. If she were left alone anywhere for 5 days, she would end up dead if she didn't have people to serve her.
Especially
she cannot serve
her. Car.
She cannot serve herself. I love when people like her hate toxic masculinity. Everybody hates toxic males until they need one. Yeah, that's so hilarious.
Well, I don't think NPR did itself any favors by bringing her aboard in light of Berliner's critique.
It could have been so easy. Like we always say, noted, we should try to do better. That's all she should have said. And it would have been issue over.
I wouldn't take orders from her as far as I could throw her.
Right, but do you agree with her, me? One simple sentence would have solved the whole issue?
Yes. She's not capable of that.
And nobody would have looked into her background or her public, her tweets, her social.
She's a full-fledged lunatic.
Yeah.
She's a crackpot.
Yeah, and it's exactly who they're looking for.
I'm not going to say allegedly. She's a crackpot, allegedly.
But she fills the ESG quotient. You know, that's exactly who they're looking for.
I don't even think she does that. For God's sake, she's a very attractive white woman. And she herself critiques white women.
Self-loathing?
No idea what I'm talking about. Say the opener is near, the Friday garage door opener. It's the first Friday we hit 70. We don't know when that will be. We do know it will not be tomorrow. Make sure your door and opener are in top working condition with Precision Garage Door Service. Book online at precisiondoormn.com or call 612-263-6985.
Mike Schoonover, the Fender Bender Mender, he's right here on the horn because Positive Thursday is always brought to us by Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. Located in Shoreview, 1060 County E, pretty much anything you need related to auto care, you can find it right there at Schoonover, and I mean anything. Our man, Mike Schoonover, on the phone. Good morning, Mike. Good afternoon, Mike, is what I should be saying.
Good afternoon, Kenny.
What were you doing this morning, my friend?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We, you know, every year the Wild and Let's Play Hockey select an award winner for the Patrick Schoonover Award, which is just a award given to young kids that play hockey either and so they get nominated by their teammates or whatnot. And so this year, a young man by the name of Austin Dwyer, who plays for Eastview, was the recipient of that award, and he got the opportunity to go to the X today and meet his idol, his hero, Jared Spurgeon. And Jared Spurgeon gave Austin the award and also gave him an autographed jersey. So a pretty special day for Austin, and a very, very worthy recognition for his efforts. Because if the GLers don't know, Austin, for the last number 7-8 years, for every birthday, he's raised money for the foundation, for the Patrick Schoonover Heart Foundation. And during that period of time, he raised $41,000.
Good gracious. That's awesome. Well, yeah, that was pretty cool. I bet. How'd he handle meeting his hero?
Well, it was pretty neat. You know, the Wild are an incredible organization, and so they did it upright, and they got to meet, Jared, and then Jared took Austin and his little brother AJ into the locker room, and they got some autographs from the Flower and some other players that were there, you know, for practice this morning. So it was really neat. So very special morning for that family.
Well, speaking of Patrick Schoonover, we have a save the date, and it's right around the corner this Saturday, the 20th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Play for Patrick. You guys are going to be down at Northfield, right? The middle school there?
We are. Yeah, it's going to be at the Northfield Middle School on Saturday. You know, people can still register. We have, I think my last check, we have 125 people registered. We have room for, you know, 200, 250, so there's plenty of room for kids to sign up. So parents and grandparents or friends and family or whatever, if you got a kid between the ages of 14 and 24. And you know what? We'll screen some kids that are even older than 24. You know, register at playforpatrick.org, and we'd love to see you down at Northfield Middle School this weekend on Saturday.
And well, like I said last week, hop on the internet, get to the website, playforpatrick.org, print out some forms and have those ready to go when you walk in the door, right?
Copy that. Yep. Way to do your homework, Kenny.
Yeah, and then it's height and weight, BP, EKG, the echo test, the CPR, AED. It's going to be a busy couple of hours for these kids, but by the time you walk out of there, you're going to know what's going on inside your chest. You're also going to know how to do CPR and work the AED machine, so that's pretty cool. And that's something everybody should know, if you ask me.
You are right. You are right. We need a bunch of warriors out there helping save lives when one of our fellow people go down because of a heart condition.
Absolutely. That's this Saturday, the 20th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Northfield Middle School. That's 2200 Division Street. Meanwhile, if you need anything at all for that automobile, that pickup truck, the fender bender mended, anything else, hit up Schoonover's, 1060 County Road, Ian Shoreview, and on the web, schoonoverbodyworks.com.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Souchere.
In keeping with Chairman Maher, M-A-H-E-R, Rick from Stillwater has written a wonderful email. He writes, I saw the Uri Berliner essay last week when it appeared on the Free Press, and I am happy you are covering the fallout on GL. I'd like to add my own 2 cents. I have seen multiple responses to Berliner's essay. The authors primarily take umbrage with a procedural failure on Berliner's part. They avoid altogether what Berliner presents as exhibits A, B, and C. the Trump-Russia collusion story, the Hunter Biden laptop story, and the COVID lab origin story. Together, these cases are Berliner's evidence that NPR has lost sight of reporting facts, sacrificing journalism on the altar of the DEI gods. I followed this story closely and have seen no critique or response to Berliner that even acknowledges NPR's failure on A, B, and C. This story is great fodder for linking, if you will pardon my attempt. Link one, Thomas Sowell, the constrained vision versus the unconstrained. In prioritizing a set of values over the plain facts, NBR shows their unconstrained view. Predictably, they are the elevated and enlightened and must instruct the rest of us. To stick to the facts would show the humility of the constrained vision. Link to the failed academy. When she says she believes there are many truths, she is saying there are many opinions. Clearly, Maher never went to a school where they gave the students an article and told them to pick out what is fact and what is opinion. The graduates of the failed academy do not understand that journalists are to report data, not to justify particular conclusions. Link three, The Big Lebowski. In the clip you played of Maher's TED talk, she kept using the word truth when what she meant was just like your opinion, man. And three, last point, and I'll throw this out there so John doesn't have to get many nasty emails. NPR has failed in its journalism. So has Fox and presumably a multitude of other media outlets. GLers should remember that what Fox News personalities said on the air following the 2020 election did not match what they were saying among themselves. We all protect our sacred cows, don't we? Keep pushing back, Rick in Stillwater. That's as good a summation as you'll get.
Pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. And here is John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe, and thanks to Rick, so I didn't have to say that. So
yeah.
I won't get the email.
No, the task for the American who wishes to remain engaged and informed is very difficult. You got to hunt and peck and search around and double-check and the whole deal.
Yeah, and we're all, to a point, still going to go to our, I don't want to use truths because that sounds like Maher, but we're going to go to our vision of what, you know, we see America as.
No. The one thing she did get right is we all have our own truth, but our own truth shouldn't get in the way of the real truth.
The
right?
real facts. Facts.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Facts. Facts. Yep. Yep.
This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. The Wright County Sheriff's Office on Wednesday confirmed the man who was shot by a deputy outside of a Dollar General store in Montrose on Monday was 36-year-old Matthew Lyrick. In a Facebook post on Monday, the sheriff's office said deputies were trying to arrest him on outstanding warrants, but he wouldn't comply, and he pulled out a gun. Deputies used less lethal measures first, but after those failed, a deputy shot him. Authorities haven't said how seriously Lyrick was injured, only noting he was taken to a hospital. Court records shed some light on why police were trying to arrest Lyrick. Alleged threats of violence against deputies late last month was the main reason. In a warrant filed on April 2nd, he was charged with fleeing from police and then threatening them with violence late last month, including allegedly telling deputies he was armed and that they needed to leave or he would execute his Second Amendment rights. Lyrick didn't comply. Deputies ultimately cleared the scene for safety purposes, according to the warrant. Additional court records of the last 2 years note multiple times that Lyrick was allegedly confrontational toward law enforcement and at Montrose City Hall. Video from a 2022 city council meeting shows him being escorted out after refusing to yield during public comments. St. Paul City Council yesterday voted to adopt a new policy that will make sure new developments in the city are ready for electric vehicles. The ordinance requires new and expanded parking lots to provide the electrical conduit and panel space necessary for future installment of EV chargers.
There any copper in that stuff?
According to a news release from the city, that would guarantee more equitable access to EV charging for residents, regardless of their home type. 44% of the city's housing units are multifamily, and over 90% of units added in the next few decades will be multifamily as well. Currently, EV owners predominantly live in single-family homes.
Boy, they sure don't like single-family living, do they?
Yeah. Nope.
Story you talked about earlier, Joe, a little more detail here. A former math teacher at Minneapolis South High School says she was fired after she spoke out to school administrators and the entire school board about safety concerns she and other teachers have for themselves, students, and staff. Becca Thompson was fired Friday. She addressed the school board on Tuesday with some strong assertions, saying, "I'm here to ask you to believe me when I tell you there's a cancerous rot running right down the middle of this organization." In a January letter to the principal at South High School and school board members, she told them she personally witnessed a student assault staff members, reported it to the principal, but said that info was not sent to the school district. Five Eyewitness News reached out to Minneapolis Public Schools, but has not heard back. Because Thompson is not a tenured teacher, she said she's not sure if the Federation of Teachers can or will appeal her firing.
I didn't know high schools had a tenure program. I didn't know that. I thought it was only colleges.
A sentencing date now has been set for that Minnesota man convicted last week in the fatal stabbing of a teenager while tubing on a western Wisconsin river. 54-year-old Nikolai Mew will be sentenced July 31st in St. Croix County Circuit Court. That date was set yesterday, a little less than a week after a jury found Mew guilty of one count of first-degree reckless homicide in the death of 17-year-old Isaac Schumann of Stillwater. Mew was also convicted on four counts of first-degree recklessly endangering safety in connection with four people who were wounded in the stabbing. District Attorney Carl Anderson said after the verdict last week that even with the conviction on less serious charges, Mew might still face significant prison time. That sentencing decision will be up to the judge.
Do you have anything about Ricky Cobb in your news, the lawsuit?
I don't.
We probably had it yesterday, right?
We did, yep.
Exactly. Well, Mark has a good point. Ryan Londegren, the state trooper, should sue the Cobb family for raising a juvenile delinquent. You've got Jennifer and James Crumble are in jail in Michigan for their kids shooting up the school.
Yep.
Why not hold the Cobbs responsible for raising this lawbreaker?
I like the idea. That costs money, and he probably can't afford it.
And from the Pioneer Press, invoking the city's climate action plan, husband and wife homeowners living near the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul have asked the city's planning commission to take a second look at plans for that new 5,500-seat indoor hockey and basketball arena off Creighton and Grand Avenues, where construction work has recently shifted from demolition and site prep to building the foundation.
What's the climate angle of what now?
I suppose the neighbors are desperate to come up with some means of preventing the development of that building. And now maybe they'll hope that these wieners in the city will.
It's the old environmental impact study.
To specifically answer your question, Chris, the city's comprehensive 2040 plan says that new construction on institutional campuses should be compatible with surrounding neighborhoods, and the group is claiming this is not compatible with surrounding neighborhoods, and so goes against the 2040 comprehensive plan.
Well, I do not have the wisdom of Solomon on this issue. It's a hell of an issue. Have you seen where the building will be?
Yeah, I drove by it the other day when I took the secret
road. And have you seen the signs in all the yards around there?
Yep.
Say no to the arena. Yep. I don't live near there. I don't have a horse in the race, but I...
Well, let's call it for what it is. They're only worried about parking on the street.
Well, but again, why should they be?
Yeah, think about it. If you lived there, shouldn't the neighborhood...
We're talking beautiful homes across the street.
Right, but we're also talking about a school on its grounds. Buildings.
Yeah. I understand. I said I do not have the wisdom of Solomon, and I'm a big hockey guy, and I'm thrilled that St. Thomas is D1, and it's really going to be cool to have your own building, but I certainly don't blame the neighbors for saying, hold up, wait a minute. Something ain't right.
Well, okay, I get all of that. But if that goes away, then what about all that huge check that came in to build said arena?
That was our dear friend Lee Anderson wrote that check.
Right.
And I don't know if what Lee thinks. Would he fund an arena not on the campus? I don't know.
I think we can all come to a reasonable conclusion. Why don't we just tear down that dumpy golf course and build that thing over there.
That place is a hellhole. That old dog track. They turned it into a dog park.
Okay, I know all about it. The offer wasn't enough.
Are you serious?
Right. Wow. The offer was ridiculously low.
But there's a historical side to that golf course, is there not? Isn't
nah,
it one
not
of
much.
The... Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just that it's the oldest course in the country west of the Mississippi.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, that matters.
That tiny little tidbit.
That little bit matters. By the way, it's on the east side of the Mississippi.
Yeah, but we're at its west. Where it bends.
Joe
factor in the bend.
It's east. It's on the east.
I know.
Shore.
I get the same thing, but it's the bend.
You walk up the cliff, and there it is.
Cross it twice to go.
But
the wild
you go back
game.
Towards St. Paul, it would be east. Of, it would be west of it.
Could we wrap this
what?
Up? Joe's got a right today.
How could St. Paul be east of the river? Or west of the river?
East of the Rockies, west of
the golf course is west of the river until it gets to about where the golf course is.
Chris, this is a guy that hops on southbound 35E, goes over the river, somehow snakes his way over to Highway 52.
Why is the west side immediately
the river
south
again.
Of the city? The south side, the west side is south of the city.
West side is south.
The west side should be out towards St. Thomas.
So this is like calling southbound 94 eastbound 94 in North Minneapolis.
You know, we're insulting the listeners, and I apologize.
Veered off the track, I apologize.
Why don't we?
I'll take her from here, Johnny.
All I can tell you is the offer they threw at Town and Country was ridiculously low.
And when the offer was received.
Which makes the presumption that there's a right offer.
They just didn't meet the number. Right.
There's always a right offer.
Everyone's got a number. And that's why you should take that offer to North American Banking Company, proud sponsor of John Hyde's daily news segment. Well, most days they're proud of that anyway. NABankCo.com. That's the website to learn more about my bank. North American Banking Company is banking done differently. They have been at it since 1998. And when they first opened, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers where you know your banker personally and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, that has not. They invest in the people, businesses, and organizations that make the Twin Cities a great place to live. And they get it. They understand that there's no shortage of banking options here in the Twin Cities. So if you are tired of just being a number to your big national bank, then check out my friends at North American Banking Company. They have 6 locations to serve you: Roseville, 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. They are also locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. That means loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities, not sent out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. Once again, it's NABankCo.com. North American Banking Company, member FDIC, is an equal housing lender.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Do you play the same song every day at this point?
Yep.
Like KQ.
Yeah. Coming up at the top of the hour, I'm Wally Walker.
GLers, I want you to think about the possibilities you can have here with ProfessionalTurf.com. You could have ProTurf wake up your lawn irrigation system in the spring, treat your lawn with weed killer and fertilizer, and install a brand new amazing outdoor environment that will make you the king and or queen of the neighborhood. I'm talking royalty here. And after having the best lawn in the neighborhood all season long, they can put that irrigation system to bed for you in the fall. I never talk about Dave, the owner. I don't know. He probably doesn't want me to talk about him, but I want to tell you something about this guy. He's a GLer of the highest order. He's not a desk jockey here. His hands are dirty. Not only is he the owner, but he is out with his crews every day working harder than all of them. He leads by example. He gets dirty hands every day. He's really a cool, cool guy. As for the lawn treatments he's come up with, well, more and more GLers, they do it every spring and they see the results and then they wonder, well, why didn't I do that years ago? Click that link and ProTurf. They're going to send out an experienced tech. A guy or gal that's been around for a long time to assess your lawn and then customize the slow release fertilizer and weed control plan. made just for you, environmentally safe and guaranteed for results. And it all starts with a simple click, professionalturf.com. Mr. John Heights.
No, wait. Just a minute, John. I want to get back to St. Thomas. Having been in Auburn, Alabama a number of times, I have memories. I have a memory of the football stadium at Auburn towers over the city. You can't help but see it no matter where you are.
Sure.
And which, of course, at Auburn, I'm sure they're thrilled.
That's cool.
They live for that, and that's great. Now, I can't imagine that this hockey arena wouldn't be towering. Won't it be a big building? Yeah. How do you squeeze it in there? Go drive by and see where they're going to put it.
Weren't you saying the same thing about how are they going to get Target Field?
Probably was, but there's no one to disturb down there except a garbage plant.
That's true.
Chris Reavers, it's been an eight-hour day. You've worked hard all day. You're coming home. It's 5 p.m. It's raining cats and dogs, or it's snowing a foot every hour. You have to park 3 blocks away from your house just to get into your home. How are you going to like that?
As I head south on 169, I'll be saying...
You have no right to even opine on what they should and shouldn't do in this small little neighborhood.
I wasn't, normally I'd be getting the Tommies going, but I was just trying to be practical.
I don't know where to be. Here's John Height.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. There's lots of national and international news, but the big story, for me anyway, one of the best and most influential guitarists in the history of rock and roll has died. Dickie Betts, whose country inflected songwriting and blazing guitar work opposite Duane Allman and the Allman Brothers helped define the Southern rock genre of the 60s and 70s. He died at his home, surrounded by family, in Osprey, Florida. Dickie was 80 years old. It all started back in 1969 when Betts and bassist Barry Oakley of the Florida band The Second Coming joined members of two other Florida groups, guitarist Duane Allman and his keyboard-playing brother Greg of the Hourglass and drummer Butch Trucks of the 31st of February. And then they added Mississippi-born drummer Jamo Johansson. The new unit was called the Allman Brothers Band, based in Macon, Georgia. Riding a powerful twin guitar sound that fused rock, blues, and country, the Allman Brothers inspired a host of like-minded groups throughout the South. A potent live act noted for their jamming abilities, the Allmans made their major commercial breakthrough in 1971 with the Live at Fillmore East. Duane, of course, killed in an accident at the age of 24, and that put Betts into a more prominent role in the group. Eventually, he was kicked out of the group, unfortunately, in the early 80s. There was all kinds of problems between them, he and other members of the band. Very interesting stories, actually. There's several really good books on what happened with the band. But he had solo music that was very good with his own band called Great Southern. Just one of my favorites ever.
Yeah, Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, Dickie wrote that.
That's my favorite Allman Brothers song.
Yeah, great song, great solos by both players.
Duane and Dickie traded leads on that, right?
That's correct. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes from Duane Allman in an interview before he died was, obviously an interview before he died, that was kind of dumb to say.
That's right.
But in an interview he said, the beauty of it for me is, everybody thinks I'm really a great guitar player because I get credit not only for my own solos, but all the great solos that Dickie Betts plays. Dickie ended up writing, he wrote Ramblin' Man, obviously, which was their biggest hit, a radio hit. And he wrote Blue Sky, wrote tons of great songs for them, Southbound. And one of my favorites.
That any of those guys would have reached 80.
Yeah, no doubt.
And John, he was a well-known hellraiser. Yeah. Well-known hellraiser.
Before Duane passed, did they have any problems within the band? Was there a lot of infighting and arguing and nothing like that?
None. And when you read the biographies, there's an oral history that's wonderful about them. And when you read them, Duane basically, even though they didn't call him the leader of the band, he was the leader of the band. And they all listened to him, and everything went smoothly. Great. But as soon as he died, more drug use, more alcohol. Sure. Everybody wanted to be the leader of the band. Not everybody, Dickie Betts. Greg Allman didn't really want to be, but everybody put him in that position. And Butch Trucks at one point wanted to be the leader of the band, so it just became a complete...
I think the weirdest time in rock history had to be when Greg was married to Cher.
Yeah.
What a weird combo that is. I think they had a kid, too, didn't they?
Yeah, Elijah. Elijah Blue. Yeah.
Who did the intro for Whipping Post? Is that him, John?
On what? What do you mean?
Whipping Post. Was that your guy that you were just mentioning? Is well, that the intro, is that him?
That's a bass.
Oh, that's true.
Intro. Okay. It's a bass, and then there's a dual guitar part that goes...
That song is awesome.
Yeah, it depends on which version, but the first solo is Dwayne, the second solo is Dickey. And you can tell them if you're, you know, a guitar guy. It's pretty easy to tell them apart.
And they're not from Georgia.
They were from Florida.
They're from Florida.
They all,
it's like Leonard Skinner was from Florida.
They made their base in Georgia.
Right.
Macon, Georgia became their base. And they're still, the
Eat
house that
peach,
they lived
baby.
In is a museum. Yeah. Pardon me?
I'm Eat sorry. A peach.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, Dickey Betts dead at the age of 80. In other news now, Judge Juan Merchan, who's presiding over Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City, this morning scolded the press for reporting on identifying information about the jurors in the case. The judge and the parties are going through the work of constructing a fair journey this week. So far, seven jurors had been selected on Monday and Tuesday, but one of those seven dismissed this morning over fairness concerns. After that juror's dismissal, Merchan addressed the press directly, telling them that reporting on too much background info about the jurors defeats the purpose of anonymity, which is supposed to insulate them from outside pressures and protect their safety. Business Insider reporting, Republicans are being warned they've long used former President Trump's name and face to raise money from GOP voters. But now Trump and his organization is cracking down, asking any campaign that uses him in their campaigning to give him a 5% cut of any money they raise that way. The campaign is also asking fundraising Republicans not to impersonate Trump, suggesting donors aren't loyal to Trump if they don't donate or mention the Trump family without his campaign's consent. A letter says any vendor whose clients ignore the guidelines mentioned above will be held responsible for their clients' actions, and repeated violations will result in the suspension of business relationships between the vendor and Trump National Committee, JFC.
Stormy, what the hell's your last name?
Daniels.
She had a pretty funny response on social media. Trump was saying something to the effect that she's a liar, she'll say and do anything, and she tweeted, "I won't sell Bibles," which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. With that,
you're spending a lot of time on social recently, haven't you?
Sometimes you just can't help but see some of this stuff because it gets shown to me.
You're right, Joe.
It gets shown to me.
Right, right.
You know,
and you voluntarily look. Yeah, yep.
It gets shown to
say?
Me.
Yeah, right. Is he going to say no and then get in trouble or what?
Hello?
Hello? They want to show you one right now, apparently.
Hello?
My favorite are some of the things that you'll see online that have the Trump insignia with the logo and all that stuff. There was the gold-plated trading cards recently. Have you guys seen those for sale?
I have not.
I'm wondering if that's what this has to do with John's latest news story about the former president.
He wants a cut.
That's
so awesome.
The gold-plated trading cards.
It's supposed to be Thomas Jefferson and old Ben Franklin and Washington. What do you suppose they'd make of America in 2024?
I can't see Abraham Lincoln selling gold-plated tennis shoes, you know, like the Don.
Listen, you jack-booted assholes. Give me my cut. Give me my cut, or I'm not going to.
John, thank you.
Sure.
Why don't you take your time out?
Okay.
God.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
Ross just wants us to have some fun with it. We can rip each other. We can do whatever. I'm rolling, so I'm just going to send him this
Liners,
file. Like, you know, like when they're listening to the town council, there's little segue points in between the segments and the bits that you produce. So have at it.
And go be funny.
You mean like?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Garage Logic Town Council.
I'm not really grasping this concept. So they're listening to the council.
When are these to be played?
Okay. Every day when people...
Hey, GLers, you're listening to the council, but I don't know what the hell we're doing here. Thanks.
There you go. Have some fun with it.
Hey, council, I don't know who hears this. I guess you do. Thanks.
You guys done this before?
I don't get what you want.
Hey, town council, I'm wearing brand new socks. Have fun.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Sugere.
Who's doing something?
Nobody.
You are. We got to get out of here. Let's go. What are you taking around for?
Jeez, Joe, will you stop screwing around?
Serving supper at 5:30. Let's go. Never going to make dinner table on time. Jerks.
Renewal by Anderson brings you Only Because.
Okay. There's not many of them today. I got to go.
Only Because.
What's that, Joe?
Coming to us from the traveling linemen's from Apache Junction, Arizona. It was on this day.
Joe, today is April 18th.
In 1807, the first recorded mention of farming by white Minnesotans was made in a letter written by George Monk, who noted crops of potatoes, oats, cabbages, beets, beans, pumpkins, and Indian corn being cultivated at the Northwest Company's fur trading posts on Sandy and Leech Lakes.
Hmm.
On this day,
418,
in 1820, soldiers at St. Anthony, later called Fort Snelling, viewed Minnesota's first officially recorded what?
Pike's Peak.
On this day in 1820, look at these. Both these screwballs have hats on now. The first officially recorded tornado.
Ah.
It damaged the barracks roof. Now, that was the first officially recorded one. They've been happening before then, I bet.
So they, but climate change is now.
Oh, you.
Yeah. On this day,
I will come over there and smack you, Height.
On this day,
April 18th,
in 1888, in an unprecedented move and a milestone in Minnesota labor history, 260 women employed at the clothing factory of Shotwell, Clarihue, and Lothman on 2nd Street in Minneapolis walked out demanding that piece rates, which had been cut at the first of the year, be restored. Although the company agreed to make small reforms, few of the strikers returned to work. Due to lack of workers or to a boycott by a sympathetic community, Shotwell, Clarihue, and Lothman closed its doors a few months later. There's the power of women.
And you know what? That walkout inspired today's walkout all these years later of the furries invading that elementary school.
That's right. A furry walkout in Utah. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. G. Eller.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We've got ourselves an event coming up here for all of you Garage Logic esteemed town council members. We are heading back to Target Field Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky. Join the crew and cabinet members as we take over Target Field when Minnesota takes on Seattle Thursday, May 9th. It's the Town Council Target Field Takeover. Tickets are free for town council members on a first-come, first-served basis. You can claim yours right now at GarageLogic.com. Not a town council member? Not a problem. All you got to do is just join the council and then claim your tickets for free. Learn more, claim your tickets, sign up today online at GarageLogic.com.